program with a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, and I would like to introduce Miriam Kolker and Annette Fromm, who are going to be talking about bat mitzvah traditions. And I want to let you know also that Annette, besides being the proud mother of Miriam, is also a folklorist herself.
Thank you, Tina, and good morning, everyone. It looks like it's going to be pretty hot today, but it's still cool. My daughter is preparing for her bat mitzvah in the fall, and because the focus of the folk life area was on life cycle events, Tina invited us up to introduce you to some traditions associated with bat mitzvah and also bat mitzvah itself. So, Miriam, what is the bat mitzvah?
A bat mitzvah is when a girl reads from the Torah.
And what does that mean, bat mitzvah?
Daughter of mitzvah.
Which is mitzvah? Bat. What's mitzvah?
Commandment or good deed.
What's the difference between bat mitzvah and bar mitzvah?
A bat mitzvah is when a girl reads from the Torah, and a bar mitzvah is when a boy does it.
So bar means son, yeah. Son of. So, Miriam, when you read from the Torah, what language do you read in?
Hebrew.
And when did you start learning to read Hebrew?
At a really young age.
Like what age?
Like first grade or preschool.
And was this in regular school? When did you start learning? In what kind of school did you go to?
There's school at the temple.
But when you started, where were we living? Because we're gypsies.
We were living in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
So you went to Hillel, to the Jewish community, Temple Israel. Oh, that's right. We lived in Temple Israel then. And then where did we move to?
Norman, Oklahoma.
And where did you go to learn Hebrew?
Hillel, Temple.
And what were those classes like?
They were every Sunday morning, and we would learn the Ten Commandments and the Hebrew alphabet.
Can you tell us the Hebrew alphabet or some of it? Oh,
some of it.
We have a chart with it. So, the first letter is?
Aleph.
And keep going.
I only know it's your student part. Aleph, bet, vet, gimel, dalet, hey, vav, zion, het, tet, haf, kaf, lamed, mem, nun. I don't know.
Well, that goes good. Here we go. Do you want the cheat sheet?
Yeah. Okay. Aleph, bet, vet, gimel, dalet, hey, vav, zion, het, tet, yud, kaf, haf, lamed, mem, nun, samech, ayin, pefe, sadi, kuf, resh, shin, sin, and taf. It doesn't have some of them.
So you learn to read and also to write. Now, when do you actually start preparing for your bat mitzvah?
When you're in about fifth grade, or fourth grade.
And would you show the audience your book? Tell us about this book.
This book we get, and it has all the prayers that you need to know for when you have your bar or bat mitzvah.
And what else do you read other than prayers?
You have your Haftorah and your Torah.
And how do you know what portion you're going to read? Well, wait, what is the Torah?
It's the five books of Moses. It's the Jewish Bible.
And now, how do you know what portion you're going to read?
It depends what week it is during.
So in other words, each week, it's a cycle, an annual cycle. Each week, a different portion of the Torah is read, and the child will read the portion that's closest to their birthday or the date of their bar bat mitzvah.
It doesn't have to be close to your birthday.
It doesn't have to be close? So, yes, it is. No? So what portion are you reading?
My portion, it's a double portion. It's Nitzavim Vayelech.
And can you read us some?
Okay. Sing.
Sing. It's sung. It's chanted. Now, Hebrew, when it's written, does not have vowels, and the vowel signs are put in. And when you see it in the Torah, the vowel signs are not there. So the child learns how to read it first without the vowels.
With vowels.
With vowels, and then without the vows so they can read it from the Torah.
Okay. So asis balonai tagel nafshi lohai ki havishani bigdei ashar me'il saraka yetani katan yechahein pe'er behakala tade helecha ki ha'aretz tosi simcha uchenazireha tazmiach kin Adonai Elohim yatzmiach saraka utila neged kol hagoyim.
Now some of those notes go up and down. What's that called?
They're called the ta'amin in Hebrew and in English, trope.
And how do you, well, first of all, who's teaching you?
My teacher or trainer, her name is Shula. Shula Ben David.
And how long has Shula been doing this at our temple?
For like 30-something years, really long.
And she's actually trained two generations because one of Miriam's Saturday school teachers studied with Shula for her bat mitzvah. Now about the tropes. Tell us about the tropes.
They're notes that you sing. It's this. And they're different notes.
And how does Shula teach you? How do you know what to do with them?
At the end of the day, like later in the day when there are a lot of people in the class, she like writes them on the chalkboard and makes us all sing them and then sing. If we have those notes in our Haftorah, then she makes us sing the word.
So would you tell us what the notes are and then sing them each?
I'm just going to do the basics. The first one that you learn is Merha Tipa Munach Et Nachta. That's Merha Tipa Munach Et Nachta. And then there's Merha Tipa Merha Sof Pasuk. And that's Merha Merha Tipa Merha Sof Pasuk. And there's Mapa Pasha Munach Zakav Katon. And it's Mapa Pasha Munach Zakav Katon. And as you can see, there are a lot of different Munachs. Like they're in different things. And then this is Zakav Gadol. And also the way Shula teaches it, she makes hand movements. Like, Zakav Gadol is Zakav Gadol. So she goes like, Zakav Gadol. And then, I'm going to skip that one. This is Munach Munach Ravi. And that's Munach Munach Ravi. And then Darga Tavir. And a hand movement that Shula does is like going up a ladder for a Darga and then going down a slide. So it would be like, Darga Tavir.
So these are the way the kids learn that they're taught.
Okay. And this is Merha Tavir. And it's Merha Tavir. And this one is Kadma Vezla Revi'i. It's Kadma Ve'azla Revi. And I'm not exactly sure what that one is. And this is Gershaim. Gershaim.
So in other words, as you're reading, you find some of those tropes in the portion.
And then these are, on this side, these are the easier ones. And then these ones are the harder ones. This one is Tlisha Ketana. It's Tlisha Ketana. This is Tlisha Gadola. I forgot how to sing it. This is Pazer. It's the longest one. It's Pazer.
What hand movement does Shula use with that?
positive. She like goes up and down with that one. This one is Munasar Ka Munasagol. Hold on. I forgot how to sing it. But for Munasagol, it's like three dots, so it's like a circle. So she like makes a circular movement. And then this one is Yativ. It's Yativ. And it's normally, it's like a mapa, but it comes like before the actual word, like where it shows the note. And it's normal, the word that it has is normally a one syllable word. And then this last one is at the end of every Haftorah. Everybody has it. And I haven't really learned it yet.
Now, Miriam, you read from the Torah and you read from the Haftorah, but you also read other things. What other parts, what other things do you read?
You read prayers, because in our temple, when somebody has a bar bat mitzvah, they lead the whole service.
So were you going to show us a prayer, one of the prayers that you've learned?
Okay, I'm going to read the Yotzer.
And do you know what this prayer is, the Yotzer?
It's the creation. Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, Yotzer or uvarei hoshe, osei shalom uvarei et hakol. Hameir la'aretz veladarim aleha berachamim. Uvtivo mehadesh behol yom tamid ma'asei bereshit. Ma rabu ma'asecha Adonai. Kulam behochma asita. Mala ha'aretz kinyanecha. Tit barach Adonai Eloheinu al sheva ma'asei yadecha. Ve'al me'ore or she'asita. Yifa Rucha Sela, Baruch Ata Adonai Yotzer Ham Orot.
Would you read it in English, please?
Okay. We praise you, eternal God, sovereign of the universe. Your mercy makes light to shine over the earth and all its inhabitants, and your goodness renews day by day the work of creation.
Now, as well as leading the service and reading from the Torah, part of it, before you read from the Torah, what happens? You call people up?
You call your family and your friends up.
Because they make the blessing over the Torah before it's read. And what are those called when you call someone up?
Aliyots.
So it's an aliyah for a person. And there's a sequence of who you call up. The first person or group of people that are called up have to be from the Kohanim or the Kohens, which were the original priests in the temple time, and then the Levites are called up, and then there's a sequence to it, who you call up. Now, other than leading the service and the meal and the party afterwards, what do you do? What are you doing for your bat mitzvah?
There are 13 mitzvot, and well, most of them you do every single day, like chores and helping out and just things like that, like turning off the lights after you leave a room. And you kind of have to be aware that you're actually like doing the mitzvot. And then you have this big mitzvah project, and what I'm doing is I'm asking like local dry cleaners and movie theaters and friends to give me clothes that they don't want anymore, and I'm going to deliver them to Little River Zoo.
River Zoo? That's in Oklahoma.
Little River School. And I did that, my first batch carload of clothes last Monday, and they were really, really happy.
This is a school that's in a predominantly Haitian community, and it's a community that has great needs. And so, and it's a community that we know of because my daughter's Girl Scout troop is involved with it. Every year they donate, they try to collect enough books so that each child in the school can have a book. And so it was recommended, and when I phoned up the nurse of the school, she was like, "You bet, bring them anytime." And we already have another carload in the house because people have heard we're doing this. But Miriam's going to write a letter, and we're going to take it to the neighborhood dry cleaners and to the movie theaters. And actually, the Performing Arts Center, we're going to take our nerve up, is right there, the major Performing Arts Center in our community, and see if they'll give us the lost and found. And a friend of mine in Cleveland is doing this. I didn't think up the idea. And what I promised her is that in the fall, when they do it, is that she can invite over some friends. We'll have a pizza party and clean all the clothes and sort them and so forth. And we're going to try to do it about 3 times a year through school. So this will be a continuation and not just a one-shot mitzvah project. And by the way, mitzvah means commandment. So it's son or daughter of the commandment, and you're doing mitzvot, or you're following commandments, because we are enjoined to help the community, to help protect our earth, to make an impact on life as Jewish people. Anything else you want to say about your bat mitzvah?
No.
Does anybody have questions for Miriam? Now, I wanted to show you, because there's other traditions that have grown up about bar and bat mitzvahs. When a Jewish man prays, he covers his head with what most people call a beanie, but we would call it a kippah or a yarmulke. And it's come to be the tradition that you buy one and you print it with the name and the date, and it's a souvenir and a little remembrance of that. This is also done at weddings and so forth. And this is one from a friend of ours that we went back to Oklahoma last summer to. And it was a custom-made one. You can get them ready-made. I have a bunch over there you can see, because this is a kind of folk tradition that's come to be. It's also at this time when a boy traditionally takes on some of the trappings and commandments of the faith. He wears a tefillin, a prayer shawl, and he ties on, the talis, the prayer shawl, and he ties on what are called tefillin. They're little leather boxes with long straps around them. And Miriam, would you say the ve'ahavta? This is one of the prayers during the Sabbath service, in the main service.
Okay. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Eloheha bechol levavcha ufo nafsheha ufo me'adeha ve'hayu Hadvarim ha'elech asher anohi metzavha hayom olivaveha veshinantam levanecha vedibarta bam veshivtecha beveteha uvachteha vaderech uvshokbeha uvkumeha uksartam leot ayadecha Behayu little tafot, penenecha, uktav tam, amazuzot beteha, uvishareha, leman tiskeru, vaasitam, et komitzvotai, vietam kadoshim, lilohehem, ani, Adonai alohehem, asher, hosei tiethem, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Dios Lahem, Lohim, Ani Adonai Eloheham.
This is one of my favorite prayers, because it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your, I don't mean to bring religion into this, but with all your mind, with all your strength, and with all your being. Set these words which I command you this day upon your heart. Teach them faithfully to your children. Now that's a mitzvah, to teach your children. It's one of the commandments. Speak of them in your home and on your way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them for a sign on your hand, and let them be a symbol before your eyes. And that's the mitzvah to tie the tefillin, these boxes that you tie on one hand and on your head when you pray. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And you know, a Jewish home is marked by a mezuzah. And you might have heard her say mezuzot. And this is where it's saying, it's a mitzvah, it's a commandment, to mark your house with the mezuzah. Be mindful of all of my mitzvot and do them. So shall you consecrate yourselves to your God. I, the Lord, am your God who led you out of Egypt to be your guard, your God. I, the Lord, am your God. Or if you're a feminist, you say, I, the Eternal, am your God, because Lord's kind of a man thing. But this is the day, the bar mitzvah, when the boy ties on the tefillin and puts on a prayer shawl. In our congregation, the girls now are putting on prayer shawls, and that's a family choice. But this is a change in tradition as what happens. And one of the celebratory things in my family...
I have a question. How recent is the bar mitzvah compared to the bar mitzvah?
Bar mitzvah is... Actually, the form that it takes with coming and reading in front of the whole congregation and having a festive meal and then having a blowout party is very modern. But the commandment for a boy to become a member of the congregation at the time of his 13th birthday is in the Torah. And Jews read from the Torah three times during the week, which I forget which days they are, Monday, Thursday, and another day. And the boy can read from the Torah for his first time any of those days. The bat mitzvah is a 20th century a reform congregation. First reform, and then it's moved into the conservative after the 50s. I don't want to say the word tradition, but practice. Practice. It's interesting, when a child first starts learning Hebrew in the tradition, they're given candy. So that had Miriam started when she was, well, in kindergarten or preschool, they're given candy because it's sweet to learn the words of the Torah. And so the sweetness follows up. My family's from the Eastern Mediterranean, from Greece, and we make these little favors that in Greek are called bobonieres. We don't call them any other way. And they have Jordan almonds in them, so the sweetness, because it's a sweet holiday, is passed on. And you'll see I have a bunch of these bobonieres with the Jordan almonds from many different traditions, from Italian Catholic weddings, from Greek Orthodox weddings, from Jewish circumcisions in Greece, from Christian baptisms in Greece, because it's a regional tradition that's cross-cultural, that's really kind of cool. And kind of like the blowout party, you'll see them with all these whoopee-doo favors as, you know, associated with them. And we have a little favor that we're going to be putting on them also as a way for people to recall and remember this very special time in our daughter's life. Yes, we are having a party, and I'm baking all the cakes. And if you saw my big fat Greek wedding, I'm making bunt cakes because they're easy to make and you don't have to ice them. And you can freeze them ahead. That's how we're preparing for this wonderful life cycle event that we'll be celebrating in September. Another thing that I finally convinced Miriam to do is that the pomegranate is a very ancient symbol in Jewish tradition. And in fact, maybe within the last 4 years, a very small carved ivory pomegranate was found in an archaeological site in Jerusalem. And it's thought to be from the ancient temple. Because in the Torah, and I don't remember what portion, there's a mention to the dress of the high priest that pomegranates were on the hems of the dresses. And it's a fall fruit. And I said to Miriam, I'd like you to have the symbolism of pomegranate in your bat mitzvah, you know, on the invitations or something. And the symbolism in Judaism is that there are 613 mitzvot in the Torah. And when you open the pomegranate, the plethora of seeds is said to be 613. So it's said to be as plentiful in seeds as the Torah is in mitzvot. So any other questions? Is there anything you really like you want to read? No, they don't. They don't. Because the roles between men and women have remained very structured. And women do not read from the Torah. Women are not counted in the Quorum of Ten, the minyan, that you need to read from the Torah. And it's very interesting because I gave a presentation on the role of Sephardic women, in Middle Eastern women, Jewish women, in life cycle and holiday celebrations. And I was talking to my neighbor about it, who is Orthodox, who was raised Orthodox. She's raised her children Orthodox. And she said, but that's the way it is. And as in any community that's very tradition-bound, many Orthodox women don't see the need. They see that, you know, they have a very prescribed role and a distinct function in their community. Many Orthodox women are breaking out of it, too. But I think our time's about up. If there's any other questions, we thank you very much for letting us share with you.